Before resuming our study, it is customary for us to pause for a few moments of silent prayer, and you may use that time for rebound necessary. Shall we pray? Father, we are grateful to you for yet another opportunity to pursue your truth. It is our prayer that as we provide the positive volition and the concentration, that the Holy Spirit will instruct us regarding the things we're about to examine as we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Paragraph H is polarized fragmentation. Point A. Polarized fragmentation is defined as the outward explosion resulting from failure to check implosion. Implosion is something that happens internally, and then explosion is what happens with a volitional decision to go public. Outward explosion is fragmentation. Fragmentation begins internally in the soul, and the volition explodes. The option for doing that is volition. This allows the fragments to polarize into two opposite trends of carnality. It can be legalism versus antinomianism. Antinomianism is one who rejects socially established morality or doctrinal imperatives. And that's antinomianism. Namas, opposed to this. And this is where believers are in Client Nation America. I don't know what people are doing in these hoo-ha churches, but I assume that they've got people from the front row to the back because they're being entertained. When it comes to exegetical analysis of the immutable Word of God, news is coming back to me from a good source, that doctrinal churches are losing membership as far as attendance is concerned. Now, my hope is that they're staying home and using electronic contrivances. No way to gauge that. But as far as showing up, that's not happening a whole lot, and we're not Lone Rangers, so it's reported to me. The old sin nature includes the following. Number one, the area of strength produces the dead works of Christian service and Christian activism. Secondly, the area of weakness produces personal sins. This is the source of self-fragmentation. Now, when you fragment, obviously you did it yourself here. Self-fragmentation is where the soul explodes with concepts on the dark side. So you do it yourself. C, the trends of the sin nature are twofold. Number one, the trend towards self-righteous arrogance or legalism. Secondly, the trend toward lascivious lawlessness or antinomianism. Both are downsides, quite obviously. D, when fragmentation is perpetuated in one's life, first of all, legalism results in moral degeneracy, and secondly, antinomianism results in an immoral degeneracy. Namas has to do, let's just net it out and call it the law, when you're against the law or doctrine, it results in immoral degeneracy. That there can be human good and evil. E. Unless believers learn doctrine quickly after salvation, they will fall into one of these two camps, legalism or antinomianism. When a person is saved, the next Bible class they attend, they have the availability for them to utilize if they confess their sins and listen to what's being taught from the pulpit. If there's no rebound, then a person is saved, but over the course of the salvific message to which they responded and the next Bible class, do they know to confess their sins? And they have them to confess. You can't go through an entire day without one sin emerging in your life somewhere. And even if you should be good enough to get through 3 days showing up on Wednesday night, you need to run it by God saying, I confess any sins I've committed that I'm not even aware of. Get filled with the Spirit so that whoever's standing in the pulpit can communicate absolute truth to you and you can comprehend it through the ministries of the Holy Spirit. That's Scripture. There's no other way to get around it. That's Bible. The trends of the sin nature, therefore, are twofold. The trend towards self-righteous arrogance or legalism. Secondly, the trend toward lascivious lawlessness or antinomianism. And when fragmentation is perpetuated in one's life, legalism results in moral degeneracy. Antinomianism results in immoral degeneracy. The volition is free to make any decision you allow. Volition is free. And isn't that interesting that that's a part of the soul? Nobody can blame anyone else about anything they think, good, bad, or indifferent. Volition is free. And that sets the stage for the angelic conflict. Whatever you think is all on you. What is your source for the decisions you make? Ask yourself the question. What's the source? Is it establishment viewpoint in the society in which you live? And that's sort of nebulous right now. We don't know exactly what the rules are anymore, establishment-wise. But when it comes to doctrine, that's nailed down. But you know what environment we actually need to pursue with regard to establishment. We know that the Bible gives us guidance on what establishment concepts should be in a client nation and go by those. So again, when fragmentation is perpetuated in one's life, you have legalism resulting in moral degeneracy. Antinomianism results in immoral degeneracy. Unless believers learn doctrine quickly after salvation, they will fall into one of these two camps. It'll be legalism or antinomianism. Legalism has to do with a person wanting to be a nitpicker. Antinomianism is you do not want anything to restrain you from whatever it is you want to do. Laws, regulations are things that do not interest you. But what Bible does is it says, okay, some lines are drawn here. There are no gray areas. The line is drawn, you should think this way, speak this way, act this way, and on the other side of that coin, don't do any of those things. Unless believers learn doctrine quickly after salvation, they will fall into one of these two groups, legalism or antinomianism. Now, no one sins apart from human consent. That's volition. And it's all on you. You can't blame anybody else. Therefore, human volition is the source of sin. Your volition is the source of sin. You're a free agent. Denial of this principle means you don't take the responsibility for your own sins. You don't take that responsibility. Denial of this principle means you don't take the responsibility for your own sins, and that results in failure to rebound, blaming others, and failure to grow up spiritually. Failure. And that's where Christianity is today. Where are those who are out in the hinterlands listening to the chaos that is emerging from every corner of the country and having to deal with that? Do you have the doctrine to evaluate the incoming flak that is constantly being thrown in your face every day in a client nation? You really need a lot of doctrine to deal with this. And so there are people who don't have the doctrine, and they are running from Christianity. They say it doesn't work. Well, I disagree wholeheartedly. It's working beautifully. When there's an absence of doctrinal thought in the souls of people in a client nation, the dark side will fill the void. That's doctrinal. And there's nothing going on in our society today that is not biblical. It's called the angelic conflict, Luciferian cosmos. He's running the show. He's been at it since Eden. And he's recruiting witnesses for the defense. And believers are joining up. The sin nature is the source then of temptation. Human volition or self-determination is the source of sin. Human volition. There is no sin except for human volition. Once you pull the pin of the grenade, the old sin nature, which resides in the cell structure of the body, controls the soul. The sin nature dominates your decision-making processes. Under the control of the old sin nature, temptation is almost automatic consent. But you are the one that controls your free will. You're the one that pulls that trigger, nobody else. So there is a conflict between the Holy Spirit and the old sin nature as to who will control the soul. Who controls the soul? You do. The end result is evident on each side of the coin. Filled with the Holy Spirit, pull the volitional trigger for doctrine. God honors that. Get out of fellowship, pull the volitional trigger for the dark side. Lucifer wins the day. Self-fragmentation perpetuated results in polarized fragmentation. A, the believer after salvation sins under two categories of self-determination. Point one, in sins of cognizance, temptation from the sin nature is recognized as a temptation to sin, and volition decides to commit the sin. You decide. You can't say, someone else made me do it. I remember back on the playgrounds when things would come unwound and the teachers would intervene. And someone would say, little Johnny, you did thus and so. And little Johnny, in defense of himself, would say, Fred made me do it. He's the one that told me to do this. And they should have said, are you saying that you don't have free will, that you don't have volition, you can make your own decisions from your position of whether you are informed or not? Who is it telling you these things and you're good with it? Seems like you've got the problem. I don't remember any teacher saying it that way, but nevertheless, they won the day. Secondly, In sins of ignorance, temptation from the sin nature is not recognized as a temptation to sin, but the believer wanted to do it and then did it. You're ignorant because you don't know the rules and regs of the situation. That's called stupidity. Now, that's rude to say that. Let's call it ignorance. You're ignorant of the standards and concepts made available to you, but you paid no attention to those, and so you therefore made decisions from the dark side, and you're good with that because you didn't know any better, because you're not informed, nor are you interested, but nevertheless still guilty. Where do you go to be able to inform yourself of the rights and the wrongs of any given situation? Well, there's establishment viewpoint. There are laws of the land. You can do this. You can't do that. Learn what those are. You won't get in trouble at all if you know these things. You learn this in school. They have establishment concepts in a school. At least they used to. I don't know anymore. But this, at Troy High School, they had establishment concepts there. And this is back before I had any order in my soul. But I knew that if I got in trouble with the teachers there, that they would report in to my mama and daddy, and when I got home, I would have a lecture about how stupid I was not to know any better. And therefore, don't ever let this situation ever cross my desk again, because there will be hell to pay. And you didn't buck speed, so I said, yes, sir. Order in the soul is made possible primarily by order in the commonwealth. That has to do with establishment viewpoint. Good parents, a mother and a father, establish standards in the home and communicate those to those ignorant people they spawn. See, when you decide to have children, and you do, and whatever it is pops out, a girl or a boy, what have you now taken into your home? Free will, uncontrolled, ready to reap chaos inside your own house. And so you have to start telling them, oh, you can't do that. No, not here. But little Johnny doesn't know. I don't know a thing about what goes on at Johnny's house, but that dog don't hunt here. And so you have these things, the rules and the regulations. What are you doing with a child until they hit age 27 as a boy? I'm telling you, you think a person who is 25 years old has all of his ducks in a row, you are mistaken. The brain is not wired in males until around age 27. I've done the research. Don't look at me. The girls can do it up around 23 or 24. I don't know how they got so smart, but nevertheless, they are. That's how they can outwit boys. They're smarter than they are. I'm not making this up. So who are these guys that run the country, like in the military? When do they recruit people to run the military? Guys, right out of high school, 18 years old. They got almost another decade before they can think. That's the people you want to run into a front line, people who can't think. Go that way and kill those people. Who are? 30-year-olds won't do that. They're officers running to that. How about the girls? What are they up to? Slick-tonguing boys. They get away with it every time because they're smarter than they are. So I'm going to get all kinds of... I'll just give you my email address. You can write me if you want to. You're barking up the wrong tree. I have read this. So just think through it. Do you really think that what's going on in this country is being carried out by brilliant, well-informed people? There are hellions. the ones pulling it off don't know what they're doing, but they've been told that they do, and they're buying into it. So we're being taken over by stupid people. That's what the bottom line, those who know better and know what to do and how to manipulate people are propagandizing stupid people, and those are the people in the schools. How about that? Where do you go to get people to revolt against the country? People who are stupid. Who are they? Anybody younger than 28? That's where you go. Go to the idiots in the schools who don't have their wiring done yet and say, what's been going on is really wrong because of thus and so and this and that. And things would be a lot better for you if you did these other things. Now, let's all gather in a little group here and say hoo-ha. Where is it that somebody can get information that will inform their volition to make good decisions from a position of truth and power? How can you head this off at the pass? Take your children from the get-go to a church where they are going to be taught the absolutes of the Word of God that the parents can then take and use as a cudgel to inform them on how to behave in their household. Word of God. And you're building an inventory. They're not good at it, but they will learn slowly over time, and with good parents holding the fort, they can therefore build an inventory ahead of schedule because of the power in the home by parents who therefore enforce absolutes. Otherwise, it's hell to pay in the streets of America. Well, I'm feeling much better about this now. Joe Henry, where did I leave off? B. I got it. When the believer uses his own volition to sin, he fragments his own life. When a believer uses his own volition to sin, he fragments his own life. Not only does he introduce sin into life, but confusion as well. Clear thinking is not restored until rebound occurs, and rebound is supported by the other problem-solving devices. C, self-fragmentation is called carnality in Scripture. Unchecked, it is tantamount to living in the cosmic system and entering into the stages, all eight, of reversionism. That's Satan's strategy. The inculcation of demonic thought from the dark side. Self-fragmentation follows the trends of the sin nature. These trends are solidified as the way as we stay out of fellowship. Stay out of fellowship, dark side's in control. Propaganda, though, see, we say the dark side's in control, but see, slick-tongued rascals can make it sound really good. Oh, the way you really ought to think through this is thus and so. Do it with dulcet tones. The trend towards self-righteous arrogance is classified as legalism. If fragmentation remains unchecked, moral degeneracy will result. Moral degeneracy. What do we see in the streets of America? Moral degeneracy. If it's a moral factor, those moral factors are under assault by people who know better and do so irresponsibly, but for a purpose. Disassociation of truth in the souls of those they want to rule. There's nothing new about what's going on here. We've lived in client nation since 1776, except for the last 3+ years. And you can tell that those younger than ages, let's say 24 and 27, are easily led to the dark side and believe it is true and therefore motivated to be good soldiers for the dark side. Lucifer wins the battle. New witnesses for the defense. So the trend toward self-righteous arrogance is classified as legalism. If fragmentation remains unchecked, moral degeneracy will result. So the trend toward lascivious lawlessness is classified as antinomianism. If fragmentation remains unchecked, immoral degeneracy will result. And what explains all this in points B through F? Absence of knowledge about how to make a decision from a position of power. You're being manipulated by the dark side. And who is it the most easily manipulated by the dark side would be those who can't think. And that would be males younger than 27 and females younger than, say, 24. Easily led astray and happily do so because it's going to be fun. I get to buck the system. I hate my parents over they die in a fire. Self-fragmentation perpetuated means moving in the direction of the trend of your sin nature. That varies, of course. And polarizing fragmentation in either legalism or antinomianism. You can be very legalistic. Want to tell everybody else what to do. Can't do that, can't say this, can't go there. Antinomianism, against all laws. Don't think about that Bible thing. It's all too restrictive. The two systems of polarized fragmentation react to each other, resulting in conflict. Here's some points. Number one, the sheltered environment of the fragmented legalist is shocked by the sins of fragmented antinomianism. See, stupid people are at war with each other. The sheltered environment of the fragmented legalist, see, is legalistic, is shocked by the sins of fragmented antinomianism. Legalists always want to tell everybody what to do. Fragmented antinomianism, these are the people who are on the dark side as far as the legalists are concerned. So they're at war with each other. And that's what some, and to some degree, that's what we have in our country. Let's take the fragmented legalist and the fragmented antinomian. The antinomians are the people who are trying to run the show now. And then you have people who are legalists. They don't like the legalist people because they want to do the law, their version of the law. And so you got two areas of the dark side at war with each other. And anybody standing on the sidelines that says, no, neither one of these are really good ideas. What we need to do is get back to the basic standards of society that we enjoyed for 250 years. Everybody start behaving themselves. Quit being so self-centered. Well, then you shut it down because of that, because the new rules have changed, but there are two sets of rules. And so we're at war with each other. And the environment in which we are presently living, therefore, may be characterized as fragmentation. Both sides are fragmented. And you're standing between both of these elements with truth. And you have to be careful. You go to work. Who are the people you work with? Are they legalists or antinomians? Which are they? Who is it you can insult without even trying? Who is it at your job have people against each other and both are wrong? And you're standing in the middle thinking, these people had any doctrine that could think through this and wouldn't think that way. But nevertheless, we have chaos in our business environment because the people have lost the thought if they ever had it. What they need are absolutes from a source that doesn't deviate. And that would be establishment truth based on biblical guidance, of course, and Bible doctrine, a yes and no concept. Do this, don't do that. Everybody get in line and buy into that. And they say, where do I go to do that? Try a doctrinal church on a consistent basis, take notes, and therefore shut up and fake it till you make it. So therefore, self-fragmentation perpetuated means moving in the direction of the trend of your sin nature, and polarizing fragmentation in either legalism or antinomianism. So you see, people on the dark side can be at war with each other. The two systems of polarized fragmentation react to each other, resulting therefore in conflict. So let's note the conflict here under 4 points. Number one, the sheltered environment of the fragmented legalist is shocked by the sins of fragmented antinomianism. Now, do you see what's going on in this country? It's not the good against the evil. It's one crowd of people out of control because they're in opposition to other people who are out of control in an entirely different way, but both are losers. So we've got chaos, and nobody knows how to fix this when both sides of the ledger are wrong. What is it that is missing? The absolutes of the Word of God. People who want to do everything that crosses their mind, they want us to start doing it today and everybody else should join in. And other people say, oh, no, you can't do that because of this and that and the other thing. No. Legalists. Therefore, chaos, because the majority of the people in the country don't have absolutes, which are found in the Word of God. And therefore, log on to those, facilitate those into a path of least resistance, execute them when necessary, and stand fast with the truth. That's what people with doctrine do. The two systems of polarized fragmentation react to each other, resulting in conflict. Point one. The sheltered environment of the fragmented legalist is shocked by the sins of fragmented antinomianism. In shock, the legalist erroneously assumes that you cannot be a Christian and commit immoral sins such as adultery and murder and drug addiction or homosexuality, and yet millions of Christians do commit immoral sins. Yet they do so. Believers. Everybody has a sin nature. What's your trend? See, we have to always go back to that because you are in charge of your free will, your volition, you're the decision maker, but there are trends in your flesh called the sin nature that come up to the volition and saying, just for fun, let's do this today. Let's pull that trigger. I know what I'll do. I'll drive out in the backside of nowhere and I'll do it myself and nobody will know and I'll have a good time and won't have to tell anybody. Except you're out of fellowship. And you come back and you say, nobody will ever know what I did today. I drove 15 miles out of town, went into the depths of the woods, and had a great time with myself doing whatever the hell it was I wanted to do. And nobody would ever know. Except God, the Holy Spirit, etc. So you drive home out of fellowship, proud of yourself, arrogant. So to repeat, number one, the sheltered environment of the fragmented legalist, see that, is shocked by the sins of the fragmented antinomianism. In shock, the legalist erroneously assumes that you cannot be a Christian and commit immoral sins such as, and then there's a list of those. Then number two, then the fragmented legalist, in his shock, bullies and pulls neutral believers between the two trends into his camp. Three, the antinomian reacts to the self-righteous or the legalist and says, if that's Christianity, I want no part of it. Then there's four. The bullying of the legalist break up the antinomian group. Some antinomians are bullied into becoming legalist, and some are bullied into renouncing their Christianity. And so chaos resumes. And these are believers with no doctrine. So the fragmented believer. Self-fragmentation perpetuated means moving in the direction of the sin nature's trends and eventuating in polarized fragmentation. Polarized. If it's polarized, therefore it's locked in. J. The Bible teaches that there are two categories of sin, pre-salvation sinning and post-salvation sinning. So let's note those two categories and we'll call it a day. Number one, pre-salvation sinning is solved by personal faith in Jesus Christ. So as an unbeliever, you're just a sin-producing machine. You still are after salvation, but there's restraint as you grow in grace. If you are a believer because you placed your faith in Christ, got baptized and everything, but you go to church that doesn't teach the absolutes of the Word of God except this, that, and the other thing, don't drink, don't smoke, and do the hoochie-coo, and then there's a whole list of other things you can do, and nobody mentions those, so you continue to do those because they're fun. You're a legalist. You're an antinomian, whatever it is. You on your own. Why? Because you have a decision-making machine that you can use any way you want to. And if I do it in secrecy, nobody will know, and I can still show up and sit on the front row. So to repeat, pre-salvation sinning is solved by personal faith in Christ. All pre-salvation sins are blotted out at the moment of faith in Christ. And so let's take a look at some verses. Isaiah 43:25. I am he who blots out your transgressions for your sake. Furthermore, I will not remember your sins. Wow, that's a pretty good deal. The implication there is that you've already got some sins, but I can blot them out with rebound. How about 44:22? I have blotted out your transgressions as a thick cloud, and your sins like a cloud of mist. Return to me, for I have already redeemed you. Ephesians 1:7. In him, Jesus Christ, in him we keep on having and holding the redemption through his blood, the cancellation and forgiveness of sins according to the norm and the riches of his grace. So that's a mouthful. We'll see that again. So in him, so you got to go back to your source, in Christ, we keep on having and holding the redemption through his blood. His blood on the cross is emblematic of his sins being imputed to him and judged in him. Sins were taken care of on the cross. So that's the blood. The blood, the cancellation, the forgiveness of sins according to the norm of the riches of his grace. So that's a grace process, you see. He volunteered to do this. Then Colossians 1:14, by means of Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the cancellation of sins. Thus sin, because of Christ, is not an issue. It is an issue in the fact that you have free will, you have volition, and you are fallen because you have a sin nature that can therefore influence your volition to commit sins that have already been paid for on the cross. And all you have to do is confess what has already been dealt with by Christ. He's done it for you. But your volition must be in tune with the reality of His act. Therefore, you must not only believe in Christ, but also buy into the fact of what particularly is important about what He did do on the cross. He didn't die there. He didn't die, and that's the big deal. Of course, He died physically, but that was after the duty was done. He had things to do. He had to take in to His own body the sins of the entire world and be judged for each and every one of them, going back to the divine decree, going all the way to the end of the millennial kingdom, all at once on Him. And then when that was done, He said what? Tetelestai, it is finished. All you've got to do is believe that. But it doesn't give you the freedom to do all the sinning you want to do, because you violated the standard of growing in grace and getting His free will offerings of His absolute standards that you can acquire in your soul and therefore grow in grace and be a good soldier for Christ. By means of Jesus Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the cancellation of sins. And so number two again, post-salvation sinning is solved by the use of the rebound technique, fortified by other problem-solving devices. Post-salvation sins are forgiven with the utilization of the rebound technique. Well, what comes up next, and we'll note this on Wednesday, is number three. And some of you may be very interested in this subject. It's called moral degeneracy. We'll see a little bit about that on Wednesday evening. Now, Father, we thank You for the privilege and opportunity of noting these things today. It is our prayer that the Holy Spirit will make it real to us, bring it to our recall for application and encouragement regarding these powerful ideas, principles, and doctrines that we have available to us to be good soldiers for Christ. And we lift our prayer of gratitude in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen. Guide me, O Thou great Jehovah. Shall we stand as we sing?